In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. At the beginning of today's gospel is an interesting story about Jesus' disciples trying to stop a man from casting out demons in Jesus' name. They were especially upset because the offender was not one of them. To the disciples, he was not part of the inner circle and was acting differently from their norm. As soon as Jesus heard this, he turned the tables on the disciples and rebuked their blind, unbending exclusiveness. He said, "Don't stop him, as whatever good he does in my name put him in the situation of not speaking evil of me." And tellingly, in the well-known phrase, Jesus concluded, quote, "Whoever is not against us is for us." Jesus made it clear. He and his disciples were not a little clique working in a small corner of life fenced off from others. His worldview, his God's eye view, made him well aware that God's actions were not limited to the forms with which his disciples were familiar. What is the lesson in this for us? Don't Jesus' words ring true as a rebuke of our sometimes feeling of exclusiveness, our assumptions that God's action among us is limited to our feeling of exclusiveness? And it's often limited to our comfortable, familiar parish environment. So what Jesus taught his disciples is a lesson for us. Christians cannot fence themselves off from those with different ways of following Jesus and of finding God. One who is not against us is for us, as one not against Jesus is on the side of Christ. Our Lord gives us a model for a broader view. There is the issue of tolerance. Doesn't all this help us stop short when we fall into the trap of us versus them, from seeing life only from the perspective of our own groups? Mark Twain addressed this temptation by writing, quote, "Man, he is the only animal that loves his neighbor as himself and cuts his throat if his theology isn't straight," unquote. We have a wonderful, warm community at Christ Church, just as James referred to in our second lesson. However, James, while approving of the mutual affection in the church, emphasizes the greater importance of their personal shared relationship with God, which opens us up to other communities. Intolerance of the other is the attitude rejected in today's gospel. Jesus probably thought the disciples considered the man casting out demons as a threat to their inner circle. The inner circle status. But Jesus disapproved. The disciples' attitude has continued throughout history. The world and the church fought for centuries in a fence-building frenzy. Stories of past schisms and divisions are legion, and now human nature continues this attitude, doesn't it? How about the stresses of our own human nature in the Episcopal Church? Let's look at the past decade or two, some number of years. There are those who objected to women clergy, which we enjoy, And more recently in the Episcopal Church and the worldwide Anglican Communion over the consecration of an active gay as a bishop. When I arrived here in 1980, a leading giver quit the church when the staff member of New Hampshire was named bishop and was gay. That is a difficult issue, many of these problems, in many other larger USA churches. Jesus reminds us that Christianity is not a preserve of a privileged few, that no one seeking to do the Lord's work is an outsider. We are to welcome all people who are willing to follow our Lord. Over and over again, Jesus' words remind us to be including, not excluding, to not turn against others whom we see as different. As a church, we are making progress. For example, we share communion with the Moravians in the Bethlehem area and all major Lutheran churches, and we have one here in Towanda. We are talking seriously with the Methodists also. We've done that for many years, and we're slowly inching toward brotherhood with the Methodists. We're not there yet. But who, after all, the Methodists were started in England by two Anglican priests, the Wesley brothers, who considered themselves Anglican priests until they died. But there is another side to this, of course. Sometimes conscience and practicality dictate that we separate ourselves from others. But the message, don't do this lightly. To not to draw the line in the sand except as a last resort. To resist the subtle temptation to think, for me to be right, anyone who agrees with me must be wrong. Jesus warns us against simplistic solutions to complex problems, to see that truth is always bigger than any one person's or any group's grasp of it. We are to be thoughtful, but flexible. That diversity is not only good, it is absolutely essential for the health of the body of Christ. I believe our triennial convention of our Episcopal Church strives for this. Our gospel reinforces the belief that our church is to be less either and more both and. To seek commonality. How do we find this? Let's begin by looking back to the early church, that of St. Paul, that those who can declare that Jesus is Lord are not against us and therefore are for us and for Christ. We have established religions with fine buildings, sometimes tend to exclude or even make fun of street corner preachers. We've heard that the last several Sundays on the parking lot of a little shopping mall near where I live. Make fun of those preachers who worship Jesus in run-down, seedy places. We are to respect those who try to follow the steps of Jesus, taking up their crosses and denying themselves for the sake of God and God's children. The core of these first verses of today's gospel is about the disciples' attempt to draw a circle around Jesus and themselves, shutting out the outsider who was casting out demons in Jesus' name. Perhaps a concise and powerful poem by Edward Markham can help us remember Jesus' response to this. from his poem entitled Outwitted. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. Amen.